Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Tuesday, October the 13th, 2020, 15 minutes past the hour, 45 minutes left in the program today. And we're talking about our interview in hour number one with Marion Public Health Commissioner Tracy Kinsler. If you have anything to say in regard to that, give me a buzz here, 740-383-9944. We kind of took it up to the top of the hour last hour. If the phone line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. So if you have something to say, please call in because I want to talk to you. You're out there. You're amongst people, and you know what's going on. 740-383-9944. I want to do a little housekeeping here this morning and say, we have a longtime listener, and I don't know if she's listening because I know she had a little surgery done, and I hear she's doing well, but haven't heard from her in a while. So one of our longtime listeners, Jody, I hope you're doing well. I hope you're still able to listen to the radio, and I hope you're healing up, and we will hear from you very soon. It was always good to hear her opinions and commentaries on things. That was always a lot of fun. And as I say, I know she had a little surgery done, and well, I should not say a little surgery. She had surgery done, and we hope she gets better, and she will, and I hope she's able to listen during this particular time. Now, let's see here. What else is on the agenda? There's something else I wanted to say this morning. What was it? Oh, okay. I remember what it was now. Tomorrow's show, as far as I know, and I always preface it with this, as far as I know, because you really don't know until you get in here, but tomorrow's show for the 2 hours, from 8 until 10, is going to be a very interesting show because everybody's talking about the election coming up here in, well, tomorrow will be the 14th, so we will be, what, 15, 16, 18? Is that right? 18 days? If tomorrow's the 14th and there are 31 days left in this month, that means we'll have 17 days left as of tomorrow in October. And if we have 17 days left, we'll have 3 days in November because Election Day is November the 3rd. So it'll be 20 days. Tomorrow we will be 20 days from Election Day. Now, why are we talking about this? Well, here's the spin we're going to have on this tomorrow. I have invited some kids on who this will be the first presidential election, this will be the first election period that they have voted in. This will be the first time they've voted in an election. First-time voters. And they're all Marion City, Marion County residents. Now, I'm not sure if we're going to have two of them in here or three of them in here tomorrow, but it will definitely be two. And I made sure that we had a boy and a girl so we can get that perspective. And it'll be interesting for first-time voters to see what's important to them. Because I think as we get older, we get a little more set in our ways. Do people remember back to the first time that they voted? When they got registered? How they were voting then? How they were more idealistic? How maybe your perspective has changed over the years through marriages and relationships and having kids and instances in your life? Well, when you vote for the first time, that's something different. So tomorrow we will have first-time voters here in the studio. And you know what? I was trying to think of how old they are. They're definitely in the 18 to 20 year old range. And to be honest with you, I don't really know how they're voting. And I don't even know if we'll talk about that, how they're voting, but just what's important to them. Not only on the presidential level, because they are local kids. So what's important to them in a congressperson? What's important to them in a county commissioner? What's important to them in a clerk of courts? What's important to them in a sheriff? Because those are all elections we're having this year as well. And how much they know about these local elections. Now, probably the presidential, they know a lot about, because that's on TV all the time. But do they even know who's running for sheriff or clerk or any of this, or what these jobs even entail? So we'll have the kids for the full 2 hours tomorrow, and I think that'll be a fascinating show. And we'll see what happens. Does anybody, this is an interesting question, and we've got 40 minutes here, so the phone lines can be open. Does anybody remember their first time voting? What was important to you when you went and voted for the first time? And how has it changed over the years? Has it become different? Do you vote a straight party line? Do you vote for the candidate? You know what's always interesting to me when it comes to elections? If I go up and ask somebody what party they are, 99% of the people will tell me independent. They'll tell me they're an independent. But if you start asking them about issues, they're not really independent. Most of them line up either with the Democrats or the Republicans. And that's what's always funny to me, is that independents become a very popular word, yet we don't have an independent party here in America. We don't, the Libertarian Party can't get enough votes to get in the debates. The Green Party can never get enough votes to get in the debates. So it's fascinating in a way that most people consider themselves independents, but when it comes right down to push or shove, they vote for the Republican or the Democrat. And I've said this for years. And this is something I have said for years and years and years. And I'm not sure how many presidential elections I've covered now. I know quite a few. Let's take the phone call and we'll come back to this. Go ahead, caller.
Oh, real quick, you know, I'm an independent, and whether or not people that say they are true independents, I agree with you. But a political party is like a franchise, as I see it. If you're running for mayor or anything that's not at a national level or a really big city, then it's more your issues and specific things for the area. In Ohio, taking care of the serious drug problem, employment, making sure we have a good mix of in the economy and jobs. We have agriculture, we have retail, we have services, we have government, and a lot of good colleges and universities also. But that's not the same as it would be if you're in Wyoming or you're in Florida. But you have to have a party that stands behind you. And, you know, Ross Perot did awfully well for an independent, but you know, for all practical purposes, when you're running for president or senator, you have to align yourself with a party. And parties have become so opposite.
But you really don't have to. See, that's the thing that confuses me.
No, you don't. I don't believe in parties. I mean, I couldn't run for national office because, I mean, I'm far left on some things, far right on others, and other issues to me are like death penalty to me. That's a nonpartisan issue. But I'm just all over the place, and I would say that's a bit of a minority because many people do align one way or the other. But you have to decide which of these sets of beliefs are more important. Is my conservative, the very conservative fiscal philosophy, is that more important to me than my very liberal philosophy on things like choice? It's a tough decision, and in many cases, it's you pick the lesser of evils. As I say, you got to pick A or B.
You know, I want to bring that up because when the kids are in here tomorrow, I'm interested about that because that term did not used to be a thing until 2016. And I started to hear it for the first time in 2016, lesser of two evils, and now hear it is again.
long time, Scott, since I've been a voter.
Well, I don't remember that with in big terms like Obama and Romney and Obama and McCain and W. Bush and Kerry. I don't remember hearing that a whole lot. But last time I heard, both candidates are horrible, so I've got to pick the lesser of two evils. And I'm hearing it again this time, and I'm not even sure what that means, because, you know, the truth of the matter is, we don't pick the candidates, we never have, and we don't always get our perfect candidate.
It's like, we don't like either of them, but someone has to win.
We don't hate each of them equally. That would be the lesser of two evils.
President on 12121 is going to be Donald Trump, or it's going to be Joe Biden, unless there's a resignation or somebody passes away. But then we have a vice president. We have a line of succession. And we have to decide. I mean, I could write someone in that I'd prefer would be president. I mean, this Jorgensen person, I believe it's a female, she seems great. But for all intents and purposes, it's pointless doing that. And a vote for an alternative candidate is essentially a vote for the incumbent. So just have to pick one, and you can hold your nose. I think most people are holding their, regardless of what they say, they're holding their nose when they go to the polls. But that's what you get, and that's part of the American system, Scott, is you can love your government, but not love your politicians. But that is kind of part of the American way, and I've been thinking a lot about that. That's the American mentality of an independent and free thinking.
But here's my question about that. Here's my question about this lesser of two evils thing. Okay, I understand that the candidates this time are Trump and Biden, and I understand in 2016 it was Trump and Hillary. But you know what? Let's go back to Obama and Mitt Romney in 2012. You know what? Most of the things that Obama agreed with, Joe Biden agrees with, and so did Hillary.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of the things that Mitt Romney agreed with, Donald Trump agrees with. So why is it just we don't like the men? Is that we don't really care about their policies. We just don't like the men.
The person, you know, which might be a woman, of course, as well as how their opinions on the issues. Trump is an abrasive person, and that could be good, that could be bad. My analogy that I've given is, in sports, the best managers and coaches, they are a little bit rough around the edges and mean. Sparky Anderson, I mean, goodness sakes, with the passing of Joe Morgan, you think Sparky Anderson made Morgan better? I would say Morgan was so intelligent, I don't think he really needed a manager. But Sparky, with his nature, I think he helped all the players get better. And that, in politics, yeah, if you're too nice, look at Carter. I mean, look at inflation, the Iranian issue. He's a nice guy, and he still is. But he was too nice. The presidency is not a job for someone who doesn't want to get his or her hands dirty.
My question is so this really lesser of two evils thing has nothing to do with the policies that they're going to try to enact, has nothing to do with your way of life as far as Congress and Senate. It has to do I like the people?
Well, a politician is the face of America. I mean, we don't have the Queen and then the Prime Minister like the U.K. I mean, we broke away, Scott, from the U.K. Because, you know, honestly, I was thinking about this. We probably would be better if we were part of the U.K., I mean, they have a good health insurance system, and many things that are advantageous. But Americans are independent. Even if the independence results in divisions between poor and rich, it results in problems, increased crime, too, I think, is part of it. And, you know, the health insurance, I mean, that's a whole other topic. And that's just the American way. We are independent thinkers. We're encouraged to use our free speech and think what we want to do and run for office if you want to. And we don't have that face of the country. The president is bald, because there is no royal family like we would have in some European countries. And that to me, that's part of our mentality, whether or not it's actually good. And it's something that as I've gotten older, Scott, I've grown to like it. It's part of that game. And it is so unique. And that's why I think America is the best country in the world. It's a land of opportunity, but we are so unique in many ways.
Right, but I guess I'm trying to get to the bottom point here is, so again, this lesser of two evils nonsense that we've been hearing for 2 years that drives people to Joe Jorgensen, who I guarantee, because you know what, I heard somebody last night, who is a thinking person, a young person, I believe under 30 years of age, who said, and this was her reasoning, she said, I'm voting for Joe Jorgensen. Now, the reason was she couldn't stand Trump, and she thought Joe Biden was too old. So, that being said, she's voting for Joe Jorgensen. But I'll tell you what, if I would have said, what does Joe Jorgensen stand for? If by a miracle Joe Jorgensen won the election, what is she going to do in that office? I bet she couldn't tell me one thing. Now, this is the problem. This whole lesser of two evils thing, okay, that's fine. You don't like the people. Okay, well, there's a lot of people I don't like. But what are they going to do in that office? Why don't we look at that?
Donald Trump had no political experience. He was a businessman, reality host. I mean, we know he was rough around the edges, and he has done stuff. In some ways, he's followed the party. In some ways, he's done his own thing. If I ran for national office, I'd have to align myself.
Yeah, but...
And it's kind of hard to say which party I'd be. And run for president. I mean, Perot got so many votes because he was a good candidate. And in retrospect, I should have voted for him. I mean, there's a businessman who wasn't rough around the edges like Donald Trump.
Yeah, but what I want to say here is you've got a current president and a current vice president running for office. President Trump, and if you like this or if you don't like this, here's what we know. He's appointed three conservative judges to the Supreme Court. That's what a Republican would do. He's tried to repeal Obamacare. It just did not pass the Senate because of McCain. That's what a conservative would do. He's appointed judges all across the country who are conservative to district courts. That's what a conservative would do. He has lowered taxes on the wealthy. That's what a conservative would do. These are all out of the playbook of Ronald Reagan and George W. Bush and everybody else. And Joe Biden will do the Democratic things. Joe Biden will try to raise taxes.
I don't know. We've not had an independent. I mean, we can go back to early history where the parties were different, but in modern history. No, that's a good question, Scott. I would be very intrigued to find out what would Jorgensen do? What would Perot have done?
Right, but my question is, because you said lesser of two evils, and you are still, the other day, and I'm not going to bust out who people are voting for here at the station, but I will tell people this, I know who everybody's voting for at this station. I know who everybody's voting for, and I will tell you this, we have an equal number of Biden voters and an almost exactly equal Trump voters. And I know who they are, even if they don't talk politics on the air. So, you know, it's not like we're a station that leans one way or another, but you are the only person who, here we are, 21 days away, who still has said they don't know. Do you know yet?
Well, I'm officially undecided. Yeah, 'cause I'm
still?
Yeah, still pondering, both sides.
With no second debate this week, with only one debate left, what's going to sway you at this point in 21 days?
Oh, that's a good question. Can I think on that, Scott? I can call you back.
Well, I'm just wondering, are you leaning one way or the other?
Let's not comment on that. To say that I'm certainly not enthused. I really liked Hillary last time. It's not that case in 2020.
Okay. No, I appreciate it.
Glenn's obviously voting for D. The others, you know, I really not even Linda. I'm not really sure.
I have a
feeling what you're voting. I think Terry is voting D, but the others, yeah. It's glad you know because you're certainly more insightful than I am.
Well, I just know it because I've talked to him.
And two of the staff members.
You know, I've done election coverage with them, and I've talked to them, and I'm not going to say who they are, but I do know who they're voting for, and, the only ones who I think have been outspoken on it are probably Terry and Glenn, and they are obviously voting Democrat, but I know that there are 1, 2, 3 people here who are voting for Trump, there's no doubt about it, and they're on the air. Matter of fact, could be four, because there's another one who I think is still a little undecided at this point. So possibly four, three definitely Trump, possibly one would make four, and at this point we've only got two, I'll say three confirmed Ds. So three confirmed Rs, three confirmed Ds, one person who's not going to tell you, that's me, and one undecided. So this is about as balanced a station as you're going to find.
Yeah, and that's the way it should be, so we can have all opinions, and we can have nonpartisan opinions too, and that's good. And you're the big mystery. Even though I suspect I know where you're voting, but I wouldn't bet money on it because I'm not totally sure. You are mysterious that way, Scott. But that's good. That's the way it should be.
That's what you're. Well, if you come up with any.
Why you're so effective too? The little aura of mystery makes people listen, and makes people more interested in what you have to say, and it helps form their own opinions.
Well, and I will say this, as I've always said, and I said this in the last election, in the presidential elections I voted for in my life, up until 2016, it was 50-50 Republican and Democrat. So last time did break the tie, and, you know, I'm not a party voter, and I'm also not an independent. I would never say I was an independent, because an independent, to me, what do you believe? I don't even know what that really means.
So, item by item, I can give you an example. For me, I am right to far right on the economy. You know, as a fiscal conservative, I think a lot of business owners are, not all, but I think that's the majority viewpoint. And on the pro-choice issue, I'm very to the left. That's an example of.
So that's an independent.
Left to far left versus right to far right. Death penalty, I'm very pro death penalty. To me, that's a nonpartisan issue. It's a little to the right, but it really isn't, as I see it.
So that's when an independent is somebody who's...
My views sit on the spectrum.
So an independent is somebody who has beliefs that both party holds. Financially, they are...
I would say, yeah. I mean, I don't believe in organized religion either, but I'm spiritual. I'm not an atheist. I'm just not religious. I'm not a churchgoer.
Let me ask you this.
That's not a perfect example, and it's a sensitive topic, but there are similarities.
Well, but like, I remember...
I have strong political beliefs, but I have strong far-left beliefs. Like,
right.
The pro-choice, that's a very important issue to me, but so is the economy, so is immigration.
And I want to say this. Okay, back in 2008. Back in 2008, when Rudy Giuliani ran for president in the primary, and he was the favorite at one point, the Republican primary, he...
I liked him a lot. I mean, he's...
Well, he said he was pro-choice. Now, this was a pro... I don't know what he is anymore, but he was a pro-choice Republican. Donald Trump, at one point, was pro-choice.
And, you know, John Anderson, who you had on the show, they were what we call liberal Republicans. And that mentality is very close to my belief because they are fiscal conservatives. They're for a reasonable military without spending too much. I mean, that was an issue with Reagan, I believe, and Bush number one. Yet they are pro-choice. They're just pro the people issues. And, you know, it's not completely the same as my spectrum of beliefs, but it's pretty close. So, but that liberal Republican, that mentality is fading away.
I mean, or a conservative Democrat.
William Weld, even John McCain, to an extent, they were middle of the road to liberal Republicans, but not as much as Anderson or some of the other ones
but
that you bring up. And you're absolutely right. Giuliani, definitely. And he was great. He New York City became safer, more prosperous under his mayoral tenure. So,
but there are conservative.
Giuliani 20 years ago was wonderful. Believe me.
Right, but there have been conservative Democrats. There are Democrats who are pro-life.
Yeah, and that's interestingly a philosophy that is not consistent with mine because they are to the left on the economy, which wouldn't make me too happy, and they are not pro-choice, which would also not make me happy. So they would be less consistent with my beliefs. So yeah, and this has been something that I've felt ever since I knew. What politics was, you know, I was 10 years old. Yeah, these left liberal Republicans, which they now call moderate Republicans, they are not totally, but in many ways consistent with my own beliefs.
Well, it's interesting. Adam, your show's on at 2:10 to 3 p.m. today. I thank you for calling in.
Yeah, we have the show with Patrick today, which will be good. We talk about the issues of the world, Melania Trump, of course about the Donald. How can we have a show with Adam that doesn't talk about the Donald? And we go through suggestions for Halloween costumes and Christmas Kwanzaa Hanukkah presents.
Well, there we go.
That, stimulating discussion. Well, thanks for taking the call, Scott. And game of politics, it's so uniquely American, and it's, love it or hate it, it's what makes this country great.
Stay well, Adam.
Exciting time. Have a good day, Scott.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, phone lines are open. And again, if you get the busy signal, just means we're on the line with somebody else. So call in, because we want to hear what you have to say as well. 39 minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 39 minutes past the hour. And I do just want to say, when I was sending my best wishes out to Jody, she's venturing out this morning, first time since her surgery, and she heard the best wishes sentiment that we sent out, and it made her day. So, Jody, we're glad that made your day, and we're glad you're venturing out this morning. But if you have anything to piggyback on to what we're talking about here, because, hey, you know what? Presidential election's 21 days away, and as I say, we're going to have the kids in here tomorrow who it will be the first time they've ever voted in an election, period. Local, national, whatever. They'll be in here tomorrow, and I know we have a male, and I know we have a female. So it's going to be very, very interesting. Give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And don't forget the Adam the Computer Guy show today, 2:10 to 3 p.m. Voice of the People with Linda Sims, 4:10 to 5 p.m. And the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker, 5:10 to 6 p.m. Give us a buzz if you have anything to say. We would love to hear from you, because you have so much more interesting things to say than I do, to be honest. And there's so much going on in the world right now. I just don't understand what an independent is. I really don't. I understand why people say they're independent. I get that. I understand that. People say it a lot of times because they don't want to tell you who they're voting for. And a lot of people say it because they're not really in love with either candidate. But this comes back to the whole idea of the lesser of two evils. That's a thing that has come up in the last two presidential elections, and I just don't understand that, because we know what the Republican policies are, and we know what the Democratic policies are. We know what they are. We know who's pro-life. We know who's pro-choice. We know who's we know what the tax plans are. We know who's for Obamacare and who's not for Obamacare. We know what type of judges these people are going to appoint to the Supreme Court. So I don't know that the person really matters all that much, to be honest with you. I guess, is it, do we like the people? I mean, is that what we're voting for? Is that the lesser of two evils, the personality of the people who are running for office? Do we do that on the local level? I've got to tell you, I, for many years, always believed that local people voted, let me see here. What I want to say, local people, I always thought voted independently, in that the Democrat and Republican insignia did not matter much. That you knew these people, they were in your community, you'd heard of them, and that's how you voted. But since 2016, I don't think that's the case anymore. Because if you look how people vote for the national candidates or the statewide candidates, you will see that locally they vote for the local candidates in about that margin, as to say that if 65% of the people voted for Trump in Marion County, 65% of people will vote for the Republican candidate for clerk of courts or sheriff or county commissioner. That seems to be how it goes, and that's worrisome, because local community politics are what we will see most. You know, that's who picks up your garbage, who deals with the people in the county. Do people look at the R and the D when it comes to local politics? I didn't think they used to, but I'm thinking a little different these days. And is that going to affect what happens on November the 3rd. Because we do have a clerk of courts race. We do have a sheriff's race. We do have two county commissioner races coming up on November the 3rd. And is it because it's a presidential year, the way Marion County goes, is that going to be the way these local offices go? I don't know. You know, if it does go that way again, then I don't even really know why the local candidates campaign anymore. Because if the national vote goes either Republican or Democrat, and all the local candidates follow suit, Republican or Democrat, I don't even know why local candidates are campaigning anymore, if that's what's happening. And I don't know when that happened. When that started, 2016, apparently. So, does anybody have any thoughts on what's driving that? What is causing that? You know, this is not about who you want to vote for or, you know, tell us who you're going to vote for. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about just really a civics lesson. What in the world is going on with how we vote? And did anybody see the cover of the USA Today yesterday that a million votes are, looks like they're going to be thrown out over the entire United States because ballots were wrong and so on and so forth? And who, you know, people look at that and they always benefit who they think that's a hindrance to who they want to win. But, you know, who knows who those ballots were marked for? We haven't seen them. We only know that they're being thrown out, are going to be thrown out. I don't know what's going on. Clearly, we were not ready for this pandemic, and clearly, even with 7 months of preparation to get ready for this election on November the 3rd, we are not handling it exactly as well as maybe we could have. We're doing the best we can. I don't want to say that we're not doing the best we can. I think we are, but it is what it is. Phone lines are open. 46 minutes past the hour. Would love to hear. I know people have some thoughts on this. And again, you don't have to give your name if you call in. You can just call in and give your thoughts, and that's good enough. I think a lot of people don't want to talk politics right now because people are so wound tight when it comes to the candidate of their particular choice. You know what? I honestly, when I look at it, and as I say, I will never tell you who I'm going to vote for, but when I look at it, I don't care who other people vote for. People can vote for whoever they want. That's America. That's the democracy we live in. I don't try to convince or not convince people to vote for a certain person. And I think if you are voting for somebody, you should have confidence. Are there still any undecided voters out there? I'd be interested to know that. Here with 21 days left to go, is there anybody out there who still doesn't know who they're going to vote for president? Or locally? Because we haven't heard a whole lot about the local elections. You know, the League of Women Voters Candidates Night was canceled this year, so we're not going to have that either. So do people know what's going on locally? We've got a sheriff's race. We've got a clerk of courts race. We've got two county commissioner races. If you're going to go vote for president, you're going to vote on these things. And there also are some levies out there. Have people made up their mind on all these things yet? Or do you just show up that day and make up your mind when you go in? I'd really love to know. And do you vote down ticket? Do you, when all else fails, if you don't know anything about either one of them, do you just vote Republican or Democrat? Do you just vote whatever party you might identify yourself with? These are a lot of questions I'd love to hear answered. Give me a call. I'd love to know. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But I'm highly interested to see what these kids have to say tomorrow. Now, does anybody have a guess as to what the younger generation will be thinking tomorrow? which way they will go? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if male-female makes a big difference. I don't know. I wonder how many first-time voters there are going to be in this country. Because those are people who obviously did not vote in 2016. And what kind of impact that will have. That's fascinating as well. We've only got one debate left. There was supposed to be one this week. That was canceled. So we've only got one, which will be a week from Thursday. That'll be the final presidential debate. And other than that, there's really nothing left. The only other thing left at this point is, I guess watching rallies, if you want to watch that, or watching negative ads that are run on television. That's where we are at this point. That's the country we live in. So, again, 10 minutes left. So if you've been thinking about calling in, you got 10 minutes now. Give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Or if you'd like to go back and talk about what Tracy Kinsler had to say this morning, I thought that was highly fascinating. When Tracy called in this morning, Marion Public Health Commissioner, and told us that during the course of this pandemic, that the health department can no longer make people stay home. They cannot enforce an order. That changed. That rule changed somewhere along the pandemic. And that a lot of people who are testing positive for COVID, and more than before, because we are back up into red here, and we are having about 25 diagnoses of this a day in Marion, are hanging up on them and not abiding by the two-week quarantine and not telling who they've come in contact with. You know, a lot of this comes back to money because people are running low on money. And the second stimulus, which, I mean, they were talking about this back in July. The second stimulus has not happened. It doesn't look like it's going to happen before the election, which is going to put people into the month of November. I don't know if it'll happen after the election. You know, if it doesn't happen before Christmas, I don't know what a lot of people are going to do. I would really start to worry what people are going to do at Christmas. Because I don't know. And I also don't know about this unemployment. You know, the unemployment in the beginning was $600. They cut it down to $3 at the end of July. And I don't know how long that's supposed to last. I don't think that's indefinite. So when does that run out? When does that have to be looked at again? You know, this is a problem here. And how many people are sick? Why are we here? Why are we this way right now? I don't know. 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz, and we can certainly chat about it, if nothing else. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I've got a question. So what would it take, in your opinion, for stores to better police people wearing masks? Because, I mean, if you put two and two together, as far as I can tell, if they don't start putting masks on, this is never going to get no better.
Well, the problem is, kind of what Tracy said this morning, a store is a private operation, a restaurant is a private operation, and there is no law.
I think privacy flew out the window when you're jeopardizing people's lives.
Well, that's true. But the problem is, if you're a store owner, and you have said, you have to wear a mask to come in my store. Now, most people have done that because of the mask mandate. But a mandate's not a law. So let's say you own one of these stores, and somebody comes in not wearing a mask, and you tell them, okay, well, you got to put a mask on. Well, they don't have to do it. And even if you call the police, the best thing that a police officer could do is maybe tell you to leave, or maybe...
So you said it's a mandate, and a mandate is not a law?
A mandate is not a law, that's right.
Okay, well, we need to get it made into a law, because people are out here dying.
Well, it's true, but, you know, we've went backwards, apparently. I mean, I don't know if you heard Tracy earlier on, but...
I did. That was nuts. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, that the health department right now cannot enforce people. Now, in the beginning, they could. They could enforce
isn't
you.
Isn't that the craziest thing in the world? It's like people want to get sick.
Well, I don't know why that was done. You know, I don't know if it was political or if it was because we can't station a police officer at everybody's door.
I'm just saying, there's got to be a way to make people do what they're... Because if you leave them up to them making their own decisions, you know, there's still people that think this isn't even real.
Well, why would you... What's your take on, and she said this earlier, that when people are getting called and told that they have this, they're hanging up the phone. And they're not telling who they came in contact with. Now, that part of it, I guess if you don't want to stay home in quarantine, you can't be forced. But why wouldn't you want to let the people know who probably don't know that you've tested positive?
The best thing I could think of is embarrassment. It's just like when you're a little kid and you get head lice. I mean, you don't want to be that kid. You know what I mean?
The scarlet
and
letter.
Just aggravation and embarrassment, I suppose. But it ain't, as long as everybody just... you know, keeps going all willy-nilly, not wearing their masks and doing what they want to do, it ain't going to get no better. Everybody, there's only one thing across the board that everyone is in agreement of. Oh, we can't wait till this goes away. We can't wait till this goes away. Well, it ain't never going to go away unless everybody gets on the same page. Like when you're spraying for bugs or something in an apartment complex, if you come over to my house to spray, they won't go next door. If they go next door to spread, and they're gonna, you know, you got to do it all. Everybody's got to get on the same page together at the same time and knock it out.
Well, and this is where we're on the uptick, and, you know, we're back in red. We're 25 cases a day. We have had another death of somebody in their 80s. So, you know, it's community spread right now. It's not in nursing homes. It's not in the prison. These numbers all reflect community spread.
Well, the answer is we got to do something. Like, you got to make people wear their masks, but I don't know how you do that.
I don't know how you do it either. I don't know if...
somebody, like some big wig somewhere, just like sign a piece of paper, making it a law, and then we have to do it. I mean, you can't go... Try going into Kroger's and buying a carton of eggs naked. You won't get very far. This is life or death.
That's a law. Because of public nudity, I guess the only person who could do that at this point would be the governor, or would be the Congress, our legislature. They haven't done it either. So, and I'm not sure who revoked that from the health department.
Yeah, that's just nuts. And I think you said something that made sense too, and you said you don't understand the connection between this being political. Like with tying in with the election and stuff, me either. Because how is this benefiting anybody or making anyone look good?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know who it benefits. I mean, if it was political,
I've heard a lot of people say that. They've got like, oh, it'll go away after the election. This will go away after the. What in the world the election got to do with the contagious virus?
I don't know. And, you know, I've never heard anybody been able to explain it any further than that.
Right.
That's why I was hoping somebody would explain to me what the political ramifications are of this election. I don't know.
I had somebody ask me the other day, well, do you know of any? And actually, I've had two people ask me, do you know of anybody that had COVID? Do you really know of anybody that had COVID? I said, well, I never met me no millionaires, but that don't mean that one don't exist out there somewhere.
Well, that's true. That's true, and you know
what?
All
right, well,
we're about to get there.
I don't want to take up all your time here. I just wanted to ring in there.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, and away we go. We're back here, 740-383-9944. Give us a call, 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz, and we will put you up on the air if you have any opinions on anything. And we have a little bit of time left in the program this morning, and we would love to do that. We would love to talk with you about what you think. Because everybody's opinion is important. And that's why we do this show. 740-383-9944. Don't forget today, we've got the Adam the Computer Guy show. Today from 2:10 to 3 p.m., Voices of People at 4:10, and the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker at 5 p.m., and tomorrow on this show from 8:10 until 8:10 until 10 tomorrow. We've got the kids, the first-time voters, coming in to talk about what's important to them and what do they think about this whole mess that we are in right now. It's going to be very interesting. What are on the kids' minds? Well, we're going to find out tomorrow morning right here on WWGH. And that's what we want to do. We want to know what is on everybody's mind so we can have a better idea of what's going on. You know what? We're approaching our last minute today. I thank everybody for listening. I hope you come back tomorrow. I think it'll be interesting, and I hope you stay with us all day right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. For this day, as like many other days, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
FM LP Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For people like legendary comedian Shecky Green telling the funniest talk show story of all time, about guest starring on Fantasy Island.
It all started.
I was late.
Yes.
And as I always am for everything I do. And anyway, they were waiting for me. And he came up to me. He said, I'm going to tell you something.